In your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Jeremiah chapter 37. Jeremiah 37, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants, nor the people of the land, did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. And Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Pray now unto the Lord, unto the Lord our God for us. Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not put him into prison. Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt. And when the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord the God of Israel, Thus shall ye say to the king of Judah that sent you unto me to inquire of me. Behold, Pharaoh's army, which is come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, Deceive not yourselves, saying, The Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remain but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire. And it came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Irijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah, and he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, Thou fallest away to the Chaldeans. Then said Jeremiah, It is false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans. But he hearkened not to him. So Irijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in the prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, Jeremiah remained there many days. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, There is. For, said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto King Zedekiah, What have I offended against thee or against thy servants or against this people that ye have put me in prison? Where are now your prophets, which prophesied unto you, saying, The king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land? Therefore, hear now, I pray thee, O my Lord the king, let my supplication, I pray thee, be accepted before thee, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, and that they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street until all the bread of the city were spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. I have the first section, verses 1 through 10. So let's remember that in the ancient Near East, during this time in history when Zedekiah was king, that there was a tug of war that was going on between Egypt and Babylon. Remember, just a couple of generations before, Necho had gone out and had slain King Josiah, and he had put Jeconiah, he renamed him Jehoiakim in charge over Judah. So there was this battle, this tug of war that was taking place between the Babylonians whom God had given really all of the land to, and they would eventually come all the way to Egypt. And then the Egyptians, who were flexing their muscles in Palestine as well. And so here's the first round of the siege. This is the round when Daniel has been taken and so on. And here they are surrounding Jerusalem. And so Egypt stirs themselves up and comes out. Excuse me. And the Babylonians, well, they have to fortify themselves against the Egyptians, so they pull away. They pull away from Jerusalem. So there's all these strategies going on. And there are those who are on Egypt's side, and there are those who are on Babylonians' side, and they want the Babylonians to win, and others want the Egyptians to win, and then there are others that are nationalists, and they're thinking, maybe the Lord will fight for us, and we won't have to deal with either one of these two powers. And so all of this is going on. This is swirling around. This is the political climate that we see. Okay, with that then, we're fast forwarding to this particular time when we have Zedekiah the king. You know, we've been dealing with Jehoiakim up to this time, although we had dealt with Zedekiah back a few chapters. We have to remember in Jeremiah's prophecy that he's jumping around time-wise. He's drawing particular things together according to subject and not according to timeline. Okay? And so what he draws out here then is this really interesting thing. Zedekiah sent, verse 3, Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now unto the Lord our God for us. Remember, a few chapters back, before those three or four chapters where we were dealing with Jehoiakim, Zedekiah did the same thing, right? He makes this big public gathering, invites Jeremiah, and he says, tell us, Jeremiah, will the Lord do according to all his mighty works? You remember that? Okay, well, he hasn't stopped doing that. He hasn't learned his lesson. And we're going to see throughout this chapter that he still doesn't learn his lesson. As a matter of fact, there's something I think that is behind the scenes here that seems to make a lot more sense than just a bare reading of it, that there's a strategy that Zedekiah has. So here is Jeremiah, and he says exactly what he's been saying in every particular time he's been asked. Every time he's asked, what's going to happen? Is the Lord going to help us? Is the Lord going to save us? And he says, go out to the king of Babylon. Be taken captive. Go to Babylon. Spend the 70 years there. Pray for the peace of that city. Give and receive in marriage. Bear children. Buy houses. Live there for 70 years and await the time when the Lord brings you back. Pray for the peace of that city, because in praying for the peace of that city, you too will have peace. That's been his word consistently throughout. He never changed. And so we want to remember what? That the word of the Lord doesn't change. It's not yea and nay. This is the way of obedience. This is the way of blessing. So then, after they come to him and ask him to say something or to pray to the Lord comes to him. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah. Here's the answer in verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall you say to the king of Judah that sent you to me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt to their own land. They're not going to be any help to you at all. The Chaldeans will fight against the city. They will take it and they will burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, do not deceive yourselves, thinking that he won't, that the Chaldeans won't. They most certainly will. And then he gives them this wonderful object lesson. He says, if you went out against the Chaldeans and you had such a victory that they're all wounded in their tents, they're going to rise up wounded out of their tents and burn this city with fire. So don't let any outward circumstances betray what you might be tempted to think. Instead, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord has slated Jerusalem for destruction and for burning. And yes, it may be counterintuitive to you, but you are supposed to go and be taken captive because that will be your safety in Babylon. That takes us down to verse 10. So after Jeremiah utters that prophecy, he goes forth out of Jerusalem. He's no dummy. He's going to depart out of Jerusalem because it's going to be burned with fire. And so he goes into the land of Benjamin. Of course, he's picked up by the nobles. He's arrested by them at the gate of Benjamin. And they bring him back and they say, we know what you were doing. You were going to fall to the Chaldeans, weren't you? You're going to do what you've commanded everyone else to do. Now notice that Jeremiah never did that. It was his job to stay and to be a watchman on the wall to warn the people. And he never fled his post. He was going to Benjamin to continue to tell the people of God in Benjamin what they were supposed to do. And so he gets there and they arrest him at the gate of Benjamin, and he never ends up inside Benjamin. He's arrested and he's brought. And this is that famous passage about Jeremiah where he's put into the dungeon, into the cells, into the place where there is no water. There's only mire, right? So Elijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. The princes were wroth with him. They smote him and they put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, because they had made that the prison. Okay. So he remained there many days, and Zedekiah finally asks for him. Now I think, this is my opinion on the passage, so I'll tell you, it's not explicit, but I think it's implicit in the passage. Zedekiah draws Jeremiah out of the prison, and he says to him, tell me, what is the word of the Lord? I have the authority, Jeremiah, to deliver you. Tell me what the word of the Lord is. And the implication is from, this is why the prophet has ordered it as he has in his prophecy. Tell me, will the Lord do according to all his mighty works? You know, I have the authority to deliver you out of prison. Interesting, huh? So, Jeremiah, if you want your condition to improve, now we know that this was a strategy for kings. We know that from several other passages of Scripture. And what does Jeremiah say? Does he take the bait? No, he's the brazen wall. He's the brazen wall. He's not going to change the message because he can improve his condition. In fact, what he does is he tells Zedekiah the truth, and then he pleads for relief after having told Zedekiah the truth. Zedekiah, for his part, gives Jeremiah the relief. But the story's not over. In the next chapter, he will call him to him again and ask him for the word of the Lord again. And Jeremiah is going to give him the word of the Lord again without ever changing the message. You see, these various times of Zedekiah communing secretly with Jeremiah only speak to add to his difficulties, because he knows the truth, but he will not receive it. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, let us be like Jeremiah and not like Zedekiah. Let us hold to the truth, speak the truth, love the truth, walk in the truth, and let us not be like Zedekiah, who want to hear smooth words and comfortable words instead. Thus ends the reading of Jeremiah 37, the